So today we continue another week in the Easter season. So if you follow kind of the traditional church calendar, we have the season of Easter. If you notice on our altars and the preaching pulpit, there's the white banners, and the white is symbolic for the Easter season. It's a season of celebration, a season where we recognize the victory of Jesus over death. Next week, we're changing the color to red. Any ideas why? We're going into a new season of the church year. It'll go to red next Sunday because we'll celebrate Pentecost. And Pentecost is when we remember the rhythms of the early church when the Holy Spirit came. And so this is the season where we celebrate Jesus is risen from the dead, Jesus ascends back to heaven, and then he tells the disciples, wait for the power from on high, the coming of the Holy Spirit. So next week we'll go to Pentecost. So this week, as we're kind of, if you will, wrapping up our season of Easter, our season of celebrating Jesus, I thought it'd be great for us to look at just a very profound, to me it's a very profound passage in the life and teaching of Jesus. I would say it's very, it's a shocking story if you really dig into it, and it's a very challenging story. So let's look at this text together. I hope you'll find it fascinating and challenging as well. Kirk, would you mind pulling up the text? So the context of this story is Jesus is in the middle of his earthly ministry. Jesus is known for being a famous rabbi, a well-respected rabbi who's teaching the people. He's known for working miracles. He's got quite a reputation going around him. And Jesus is invited to eat dinner with a Pharisee. We later learn his name is Simon. Now, a Pharisee, for the context, he would have been a religious leader. He would have been someone like me. He would have been someone that was considered well-respected, a teacher of the scriptures, someone who was interested in the holiness rules of the day and helping the society, helping the Hebrew people move in right ways, in religious ways towards God. So the Pharisee himself would have probably been a reputable person inviting Jesus to dinner. Now, the dinner scene's a little different than the dinner scene like if we were to all go out to a restaurant. The dinner scene in many restaurants in the Czech Republic, you sit at a table, and you have chairs like these that we're sitting on around the table, right? The setting for dinner would have looked a little different. It would have been a lower table, and the people would have sat around the table and semi-reclined. So if you can picture like a bunch of pillows or like a beanbag chair, and it's almost like, I'm not going to show this because I'd look really silly, but it's kind of like Jesus would have, let's go this way, Jesus would have leaned maybe on one elbow with his legs, his feet back, and then would have eaten probably with his hand. So if you can imagine kind of pillows or almost like a lounge chair, right? And his feet are in the back of him and his head and his elbow to the front. And so that was probably the scene. It was kind of a semi-reclining on a low table dinner. That's important that you understand that because of the next sentence. The next sentence is a woman comes in and goes right to Jesus' feet. So it wasn't that she climbed under the table, right? She would have gone to Jesus' feet, which would have been out behind him. So the scripture doesn't tell us the woman's name, doesn't tell us what she's done. All the scripture tells us is she was a woman of the city who was known to be a sinner. So I think probably the details are not important in the writer's mind as much as that you and I, the reader, understand that this was a woman who had a bad reputation, who was known for doing things that others considered immoral, not right, bad, right? She was looked down on by others. And it says that when she learned that Jesus was at this particular Pharisee's house, she went in to the house and began weeping and having her tears fall across Jesus' feet and then wiping the tears clean with her hair. Now, this moment would have been shocking. It would have been nothing less than probably Simon the Pharisee's mouth was probably gaping open. Because one, this woman was a bad reputation and she came uninvited to the dinner party. Two, she was a woman who was seen with this kind of sketchy reputation and what she did, right? So in some cultures, maybe you're aware of this around the world, or even some traditions, women keep their hair up and back, right? And it's a big deal if a woman lets her hair down. I don't know that that's as big a deal here in the Czech Republic. I don't sense it is. I see lots of women with their hair down here. But for this scene, the woman letting her hair down and physically touching Jesus' feet, weeping over them, and then using her hair to wipe his feet. Now, feet in this time, you would have worn sandals. The terrain was very dusty and sandy, and so it would have been common for feet to get quite dirty and stinky. So can you kind of imagine, maybe you've been to the beach or a dusty road and you've been in sandals and you look down and your feet are covered in dust. And the woman's tears would have just probably left, you know, these washing effects on Jesus' feet. And then to wipe the dirty feet with her own hair. What a scene. Then it goes on to say she kissed Jesus' feet and anointed his feet. So the thing I want you to grasp here is it was a shock that she came to the party uninvited. It was a shock who she was. And then it was a shock what she was doing. Quite an intimate scene, really uncomfortably intimate scene, that this strange woman came and was touching Jesus' feet, letting down her hair, and just kind of carrying on, right? Kind of a bit of a drama scene over Jesus. She also brought an alabaster jar. I think we've got a picture here of the alabaster jar. Would have looked something like this. If you go to the store, you and I, we would probably get, you know, like a bottle of perfume or something equivalent for the men, right? Cologne. But in antiquity, it would have looked something like this, and it probably would have had a kind of liquid perfumed ointment. And so if you can imagine, as this woman poured this ointment on Jesus' feet, the smell would have filled the whole room with kind of this beautiful, pleasant smell. Kirk, go to that other picture just to draw us into this a little bit. This is one artist's attempt at maybe what it would have looked like. And you would have seen the little alabaster ointment and the woman kind of doting, right? Nurturing, caring for Jesus' feet. Kirk, now if you take us back to the text. So this is all happening, right? And if you can imagine, you know, the Pharisees thinking, I'm going to get to know this prophet Jesus a little better. I'm going to ask him some questions. I want to figure out who this Jesus is really. And he probably has some ideas for the evening's dinner. And it says, go to the next slide. It says that the Pharisee said to himself, you ever do that where you think, not out loud, but in your head? It says, he thought to himself, huh, if this Jesus were truly a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who's touching him, for she's a sinner. So I want you to see here how the Pharisee was being judgmental, right? The Pharisee was annoyed that this woman was here and that Jesus was letting her minister to his feet, if you could put it that way. And now look at how Jesus handles this whole scene, right? He wants to tell Simon a story. He doesn't go right at it, but he knows that the Pharisee's being judgmental. So he tells this brilliant story and ends with a question. Okay, so here's Jesus' story. There's two people that owe money. And their creditor, their money lender, decides to forgive the debt. Right? Wipe the slate clean. You don't have to pay me back. One owed 500 denarii, which is the money of the day back then, and the other 50 denarii. Now, if you're a good math and numbers and money, a financial person, yes? Right. Brilliant. The first guy owes 450 more denarii than the second one. So 550. So if you're wanting to find the Bible commentaries will give you, like if you take antiquities money and take it to, you know, dollars or euros or whatever currency you want, what would it be? I think maybe the important thing here is the one who owed 500 denarii, it was going to be nearly impossible to pay that off. It was so much money. And the guy who owed 50, that was still a lot of money, but not compared to the 500. And then Jesus raises this question. When the money lender cancels the debt of both of these two men, which one of them do you suppose will love the money lender more? Who will be more grateful? Who will be more grateful that their debt's been canceled? And the Pharisee responds, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. Now, I think Jesus said this tongue-in-cheek, with irony. You have judged rightly. Go to the next slide. All of a sudden, Jesus takes the scene, takes the Pharisee's judgment, and flips it around. And Jesus takes that story and the Pharisee's answer of, yeah, I suppose the one who had the greatest debt canceled will be the one who loves the most. And then Jesus goes on to school this Pharisee. I mean, to teach him. I mean, if we were in Ghana, those little sticks that teachers would get, like, ship him. I don't know. What does your teacher do when they're really, you know, mad? They give you the teacher look. I don't know. Kirk, do you have a good teacher look? I see you over there on your cell phone when you're listening. You know, whatever the teacher look. I think Jesus gave Simon the teacher look and then schooled him. Why? Because the Pharisee Simon was busy judging the woman, looking down on the woman, when Jesus saw the Pharisee's heart. And what the Pharisee said to Jesus by his action or inaction. So here's the rest of the story. Jesus said, Simon, when I entered your home, you gave me no water for my feet. That was a customary hospitality gesture in antiquity, that when an honored guest would come, they would have a basin for you to dip your feet in, to clean the dust off your feet. And if you went the extra mile as the guest, you might even have a servant washing your guest's feet, because cleanliness was important. So offering a basin of water. And so Jesus here says to Simon, you didn't offer me any water. But this woman here, she wet my feet with her tears and wiped my feet with her own hair. Then he went on to say, Simon, when I entered, you gave me no kiss. Now that might sound weird to us, but a kiss was a kind of greeting, right? If you've ever hung around someone from France, right? How do you greet? Right? It's a sign of affection, a sign of love. And so Jesus was saying, Simon, you gave me no warm, affectionate welcome. But this woman, she has not stopped kissing my feet, my dirty feet. Simon, when I came into your house, you did not anoint my head with oil. That was also a sign of generosity and hospitality to kind of freshen you up, if you will. If you've been out in the heat of the day, you've been out maybe getting a little stinky, you know, sweating, putting a little bit of oil, right? It was a way to fragrance yourself, to kind of freshen up before you would sit down for a nice meal. So Jesus is saying, Simon, you didn't offer me any water, any warm greeting, any anointing oil for my head, but this woman has taken an expensive alabaster jar and anointed my feet. And here comes kind of the punchline. Here comes the climax, the nugget, the pow of the story. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. Ugh. He who is forgiven little loves little. So indirectly, Jesus really stuck it to Simon. Jesus was saying, Simon, when I came to your house, you treated me like you were better than me. You think you're higher, more superior than me or this woman. But I tell you, her love for me is greater than yours. Now, if you read through the Gospels and read about Jesus, you'll see that oftentimes Jesus has the sharpest words, the schooling for people the most for the religious leaders, the people like the Pharisees. Jesus was often critical of the Pharisees. And I want to just quickly say, I think that Jesus often would be critical for people who are overtly, regularly religious. People like me. Why? Because sometimes people who are very into their ways of religiosity can become fixated, stagnant, focused on their right ways. And sometimes people who are teachers and pastors and religious leaders of various kinds can spend their life being good, and then if they're not careful, they become proud inside and start to judge everybody else and not see their own faults. And so here was this major sting to Simon, saying, you're looking at this woman creating a scene and you're missing the point. The point is, she has had a lot happened in her life. A lot of mistakes, imperfect people, sins. But she knows who I am. And she is worshiping me. She is doting over me, nurturing me, loving me, showing me signs of care and affection. And she doesn't care what other people think of her because she cares what I think of her. Simon, you care too much to look good in front of other people, and you don't care enough who's sitting at your table. So in another big and real way, Jesus didn't say in this text, I am the Messiah, but Jesus did, right? Jesus did say, I am the Messiah, because he proclaimed, your sins are forgiven. And it says even at the dinner party, they start to grumble among themselves. Who can forgive sins? Right? Only God can forgive sins. And Jesus is doing something that God alone can do. So Jesus is saying at this dinner party, I forgive your sins to this woman. And then Jesus lifts her up as an example in front of Simon. So see how the tables are turned upside down? From this woman being the scorned woman to this woman being the honored woman. And this Pharisee man being the honored host to being treated like a small school child. And what did Jesus see there? The inner heart and the outward actions. Sometimes our outward actions do show our inner heart. I once had a boss who I worked for who used to say, what's in you will come out of you. When you get squeezed, what's in you will come out of you. What do you mean? Sometimes what's really inside, our motives, our deepest heart comes out. And here in this passage, Jesus exposes that. Now, I want to quickly go to prayer over this. For me, it's a great challenge. Maybe it is for you. I hope it is. Little love or big love? What would it be said of you? What would it be said of me? Would we be more like a woman who realizes I've made mistakes? I've blown it, I've sinned, I'm not worthy, but I want to do something to show Jesus honor and affection? Or are we sometimes really more like Simon the Pharisee, who's busy looking around the room and deciding who's more superior, judging everybody else, and just having a lot of pride about our own superiority inside? Do we realize that whether it's 50 or 500, I need Jesus the Messiah? And that's something for you to search your heart and for me to search my heart. So let's go to prayer and let's consider the words of Jesus.